Last week, we began our journey through Lent with the story of Jesus testing in the wilderness. You might remember that in the Gospel of Luke, this story comes right after Jesus' baptism and then after a long genealogy that traces Jesus' lineage all the way back to Adam. Through Jesus' baptism and his genealogy, Luke makes it clear to us who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. What happens in the wilderness then allows us to see what kind of son he will be. Will Jesus be tempted by promises of security or power or glory? No. He will stay focused on who he is and what God is calling him to do. Now, our scripture reading today tells the story of another kind of test. Luke tells us about an encounter Jesus has on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way out of Galilee. He's leaving the region that is directly controlled by Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas' father is the Herod of the Nativity stories. That Herod had tried to hinder God's plans by killing all the children in Bethlehem who had been born around the same time as Jesus. But an angel of the Lord had warned Joseph to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt so they could escape the slaughter. Now, Herod Antipas is trying his own hand at hindering God's plans. It's important to remember here that Herod Antipas is primarily motivated by fear. He is constantly worried that political uprisings in his region might cause the Roman emperor to remove him from power and put someone else in his place. So he does everything he can to keep his people under control. His willingness to use brutal violence and his hunger for absolute power put him at odds with the kind of kingdom Jesus is preaching about. Jesus has been traveling around on Herod's home turf, preaching about a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom where the last are first, where outsiders become insiders, a kingdom where earthly power has no sway over eternal promises. Some Pharisees come to warn Jesus that Herod is not so pleased with the lessons he's giving about that kind of kingdom. And once again, Jesus has to decide if he will be tempted by promises of safety and security, or whether he will stay focused on the mission and ministry God has given him. Let's listen now for the word of God in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now, our next hymn is Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. You'll find it in the hymnals if you're here in the sanctuary, and those of you worshiping from home, the words will appear in the comments so that you can sing along with us. Be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So last week was the beginning of our journey through the season of Lent, this six-week period that begins on Ash Wednesday and carries us all the way through Holy Week to Easter. It's a season that invites us to return to God by letting go of all the distractions and doubts that can get in the way of our faith. As we talked about last week, some people do this by giving something up for Lent as a way to honor the sacrifice Jesus makes when he gives up his life on the cross. But this year, our Lenten sermon series isn't focused just on giving things up. We're actually encouraging you to take something on. To take on a practice or a habit that might strengthen your faith and draw you closer to God. Because really, that is what Lent is all about, growing in faith so that we can be ready to fully experience the good news of new life that will come to us again on Easter morning. So throughout this holy season, we're exploring together the practices and habits and ways of thinking that can help us connect more deeply with God. We're tending to our lives so that we can grow in faith. And last week, the first practice we talked about was relying on Scripture. We noticed how Jesus relied on Scripture to resist the devil's temptations in the wilderness. Each time the devil attempted to steer Jesus away from his mission and ministry, Jesus used Scripture to remind himself of who God had created him to be and the work that God was calling him to do in the world. And relying on Scripture can do the same thing for us. Scripture can ground us in our identity as children of God and guide us on our journeys as disciples of Christ. So relying on Scripture, reading Scripture regularly, might be a practice that you choose to help you grow in faith. This week, we're going to explore how we can grow in faith by trusting in God's promises and expecting God's kingdom. Now, when we meet Jesus in today's scripture reading, he's in the midst of something of a teaching and preaching tour. He's making his way from Galilee to Jerusalem by traveling through one town and village after another. At one point along the way, some Pharisees come and tell him to turn back. They warn him that Herod is out to get him. Herod Antipas has already beheaded John the Baptist, and apparently he is now on the hunt for Jesus. The Pharisees warn Jesus to turn back in order to preserve his life. But Jesus will not be deterred. He tells them to pass a message along to Herod, to tell Herod he will continue casting out demons and performing cures until he decides his work is done. The message Jesus sent to Herod was also a message he wanted the Pharisees to understand. He did not have time for their foolishness. He had work to do, the work of making God's kingdom real in the world. He didn't have time to be worried about Herod. You see, Jesus knew that in order to fulfill his mission and complete his ministry, he could not stop being who God had created him to be. He couldn't stop doing the work God had called him to do. He couldn't stop the journey that was taking him to Jerusalem. He couldn't avoid the fate that awaited him there. The Pharisees' warning about Herod gave Jesus an out, in a way. They gave Jesus an opportunity to back away from his destiny, but rather than back away, Jesus leaned more fully into it. Jesus openly declared his intention to complete the work God had called him to do. He submitted himself to the work of the kingdom, work that included drawing people closer and closer to God. I love the image he uses in this passage, the image of a mother hen who yearns to gather her brood under her wings. Jesus makes it clear that his great desire, his great mission, is to gather in God's children, no matter how far they have wandered away. He wants to gather them in, welcome them home, and love them back to life, because that is what God's kingdom is all about. God's kingdom is a place where the broken are made whole, where the last are first, where outsiders become insiders, where earthly power has no sway over the eternal promise of God's love. It was almost exactly 8 years ago, on March 10th, 2014, that Honey Made Graham Crackers launched a commercial they called This Is Wholesome. The commercial celebrated all families and included a gay couple and an interracial family. There were people who did not agree with their message. One group even started a letter-writing campaign to tell Honey Made that the families they included in their commercial weren't so wholesome after all. But Honey Made was not deterred. They didn't back away from their message of love and their mission of acceptance. They asked two artists to take all the negativity from their critics and transform it into something beautiful. The artists started by printing out all of the negative comments on individual pieces of paper. They rolled up each piece into a cylinder, and then they glued the cylinders together side by side, standing on their ends. And they spelled out the word love. I think that is a powerful image of how God works in our lives and in this world. God can take every mistake that we have made, every bad word we've said, every relationship we've broken, every shame we have tried to hide away. God takes it all and transforms it into love. That is what God yearns to do for us. That is what Jesus came to show us, that God wants to gather us in, welcome us home, and love us back to life. That is what God's kingdom is all about. And yet, there is still so much in this world that tries to turn us away from the promises of that kingdom. There are so many people in this world who are suffering. There are so many places that are bleak, so many systems that are broken. We live with the reality of homelessness and hunger, addiction and anger. We live in a world where people are still judged by what they look like or who they love. We live in a world that is watching in horror as another ruler who is motivated by fear and power is using brutal violence to try and keep the people of Ukraine in their place. We live in a world that can so easily turn us away from the promises of God's kingdom. And yet, as Christians, we are called to keep expecting the kingdom to come, even when the world gives us so much evidence that the kingdom is not yet here. We are called to keep trusting that God can take all of the suffering in this world and transform it with the promise of salvation. We are called to keep trusting that God can take all that is bleak and broken and transform it into something beautiful. We are called to keep going, to keep doing everything we can to make God's kingdom real in this world. I bet you've seen it. The picture of the empty baby strollers that were left at the train station in the Polish town of Szemyszul. Polish mothers left the strollers there for the women and children who had to flee Ukraine for their lives, seeking refuge and safety across the border in Poland. The stroller movement has now spread, and there are empty strollers lined up at train stations across the country as a way to provide some comfort and hope in a dark and desperate time. Friends, that is what it means to keep expecting the kingdom to come. Even when there is so much in this world that tries to turn us away from the promises of God's kingdom, we keep going. We keep doing everything we can to provide comfort and hope, even in dark and desperate times. And we keep trusting in the God who yearns to gather us in as a mother hen gathers in her chicks. We keep trusting in the God who can take all that is broken in our lives and in this world, in the God who can take it all and transform it with the power of love. We keep expecting God's kingdom to come. And every day, we keep choosing to do everything we can to make God's love real in this world. That is a worthy practice for us in the season of Lent.